Thank you, Sister Angela. What a message. And what a wonderful presentation of that message. Thank you. And Pastor Steve, what a wonderful morning of worship you led us to experience today. Praise the Lord for you. And choir, thank you. Church, we're not here by accident. But I must ask you, do you believe it? Yes. Do you believe what we just heard? Yes. Are you going to be a hearer only or a doer? I mean, it's one matter of saying, boy, that was touching. I kind of like that message. And then I'm going to leave the church house the same way I came in. Listen, we must be doers of the word. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We're going to look at a few verses today, so keep your Bibles available to you, please. What's next when you are in need? Now, let me say a few words of introduction before we jump in our scripture. The early believers sought God for what was next in their lives. And God answered their prayers and gave them the exceptional, because we serve an exceptional God, do we not? And then suddenly, we learn that there were needs among the people of God. You see, just because you are following the path God has ordained for you doesn't mean you'll have no needs. What it means is that God will have a what's next for you to meet your needs. So this morning we're going to study what we should do, what's next when there are needs in our lives. We will learn what we believe to be true so clearly, that God will meet your needs. God will meet your needs. Now look at chapter 4. There are two fundamental ways to meet the needs in the lives of Christians. And let's look at these. First of all, Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 32. If you're able to stand, I'll ask you to do so. This is the word of God. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. I'm going to ask the church to repeat after me, one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him was his own, but all things were in common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Now Joseph, a Levite, to give you an example, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. You may be seated. God has two fundamental ways to meet your needs when it comes to physical needs of a nature that we just read of. The need for sustenance, the need for resources. Now, we have a lot of needs. God meets all of our needs. But here in the passage, we're going to specifically study this morning what we should do, what we should expect when there are physical needs for resources. Because it is the intent of God to meet your needs. He is your provider. He is your Father. He has two principal ways to do so. First of all, you are to work. All right, I got two amens. I'm waiting for the party, preacher. I didn't come to talk about work.
Turn to 2 Thessalonians. Listen, you got to get this or you will not understand the Word of God. We love you, and that's why we have to teach you the truth. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Hold your finger in Acts 4. We'll be right back there in a moment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. If you're there, say amen. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. So Paul was saying, listen, I have an order for you, a directive for you. This is a command to you. When I was with you, I gave you the same command. Now I'm writing this command. Okay, let's see what it is. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For even when you, verse 11, for we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all. But you got time to act like busybodies, but you don't have time to work. This is the Word of God. Now, I'm going to be as clear and as helpful to you as I can be. The same is true for you. The same is true for me. God has a means to provide for you. It is the will and the intent of God to provide for you. He is your Father. He does not intend you to live with unmet needs. He wills you to have food on your table, clothing on your back, a place to live. It is His desire, His aim, His will, His purpose for your life. And the principal way of providing that for you is to work. So maybe instead of saying, God, I need 2K to put in my bank, maybe we ought to pray, God, give me a job so that I can earn 2K and maybe have a little left over. Now, let's get back to Acts for a moment. What we read of in Acts actually is a part of the second way in which God meets your needs. The second way in which God meets human needs is through benevolence, or you could say charity. In other words, someone gives you something. If you have a need, someone just gives you something. Now, what we read in Acts chapter 4, it is a repeat a bit of what was spoken of very succinctly in Acts chapter 2. And that is, there were needs among the people of God that were so profound that some of those who had possessions, and there were very few that did, but those who owned land would even sell them and bring the proceeds to the feet of the disciples and say, listen, we want you to take these funds and care for the needy people. Now, you will not find a passage anywhere in Holy Scripture like you find right here. In fact, this is a single occurrence of this kind of prescription. Here's what was happening. As you know, the first church was just given birth. Jews from all around the empire came to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and thousands were saved. And not only that, more began to come. Healings were began to coming about. Signs and wonders, great mighty works were happening. And every time you have a miracle, guess what happens? You've got a flock of people coming into the apostles. They had flocked to Jesus for healing. Now they are flocking to the apostles to provide that same kind of healing. And people were being saved and folks are being healed. In the earlier verses, we learned that 5,000 were now saved. In Acts 2, there were 2,000. Now let's up to 5,000. I mean, folks from all around was coming on Jerusalem and receiving the ministry of the apostles, and they didn't have a place to live. they didn't have a means to sustain themselves. I mean, they left their homes, they left their cities and their environments to come to Jerusalem. And so the apostles gathered them and said, listen, we gotta provide for these folks. It is an error to say that the New Testament teaches to sell all you have and join a commune. That's not at all what was happening here. Now, was there a communal type of living? Yes, there was. Folks from all around were coming to Jerusalem to receive this incredible fresh teaching and this Holy Ghost anointed ministry. Folks were coming everywhere, and they didn't have a place to live. And so they began to associate together and live together. And they'd sell possessions and sacrifice so that the needs of their people would be met. Now, there are two ways that God intends to meet your needs. First and foremost, scriptural is consistent throughout the Old and New Testament that the number one way to meet your needs is through work. You find it in the Old Testament. You find it in the New Testament. In fact, if I could call your attention to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Let's look there quickly, please. Turn, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Now, as you're turning there, let me just say this. Years ago, you heard about the Puritan work ethic, didn't you? I mean, that's a phrase perhaps you've heard before. When Protestants came into the U.S., they preached this, they taught this. And that is, we will not be dependent on any government or any kind of organization. We're not going to be put in servitude or in bondage to another to take care of our needs. We're going to work. And the Puritans, by the way, they preached this stuff and they propelled it. The early colonial times were built on this message. You've got to work or you don't eat. If you're able now. And some are not able. But if you're able, I mean, you got to work. I mean, they believed this so much so that it was preached to be an act of worship. You see, working is just not going out and getting money. You do it unto the Lord. Listen, those of you who are in sales, you don't do it just for money. You do it as unto the Lord, amen? Those of you who teach, you don't just teach so I can get a payday and a retirement. No, you do it as unto the Lord, you see. You see, everything we do is an act of worship, not just on church on Sunday morning. We do all that we do as an expression of God's thankfulness and as a way to return back to Him His great blessings and His favor. You see, it is the preponderance of Scripture that says you've got to work so you can eat. That's the preponderance of Scripture. Don't be a busybody, because you will be without. Now, there are times when benevolence is a tool in which God uses. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy 5, 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever, worse than an infidel. You see, benevolence doesn't start with the church. It starts at home. You see, God has ordained family to be that institution to provide for one another. So first of all, if you are in need, go to work. Second, you say, I can't work. Then families were created to help family members to make it. Now let me just say, this teaching of Paul is very biblical. It goes back to the Old Testament. We will not spend the time to trace it. There are times when families just help families. And there are times when families give an inheritance to families. That's why an inheritance is passed on to families. Because it's the family responsibility to take care of families. Very biblical, by the way. But let me just say that I probably would not advise you to depend on your family to take care of your livelihood. I've been around a while. And let me just say, as your pastor, I would not advise you to say, well, I think I'm just feeling a pain in my finger and I don't think I'm going to work. I'll just ask my family to take care of me. Good luck with that. And then there's the church. God has ordained the church to care for people. We have people come here all the time. We had someone come this morning, come right in the front door. All they wanted was money. Didn't want to stay for church. Wouldn't even let me pray for them, but they wanted our money. They wanted our money. Well, we sit all the time here. Not all the time, but with some commonality. And guess what we do? What do we do as a church? What do you think? Yeah, we help people. I'm just saying. We got one of the most generous churches on the face of the earth. But can you imagine such things? You see, God has given the church to help and to perform benevolence. And that's what we read in Acts chapter 4 here. This was an unusual circumstance when people came from all around into Jerusalem and they didn't have a way to eat or a place to live. So they kind of formed themselves into a bit of a commune, if you will. In my mind, I picture it outside of Jerusalem in one of the lovely valleys. I don't know where it was located, doesn't say. But folks were extremely generous. Now, here's what I want you to get. Do not miss the message here. Here's the message. It's quite simple. God will see that your needs are met. Even in the most extreme case like this. Listen, this was extreme. Can you imagine if all the people who came into Atlanta this weekend came to church today and said, we didn't come for the ball game, we came to hear the sermon, and we don't have enough money to have lunch. We need lunch and we want to hear the message and participate. Can you imagine the hundreds of thousands of people? I mean, it'd be amazing. Get what we would do something. Joe Green, get in the kitchen. We're going to do something. We're going to have to ask God to bless and multiply. We're going to do something. We always do something. When people come through the front door saying, I need something, we're going to do something for the name of Jesus. Amen? And this was extremely rare. But that's what I want you to see. It's the message. Even in the most extreme case, God took care of their needs. And God's going to take care of your needs too. Now, God cares for and blesses the lives of genuine believers. Now, here, this is so crucial. You see, it says in verse 32 that they were of one heart and one soul. You see, they were united as a Christian family. That's not coincidental. Pastor Steve mentioned it earlier. I mean, if we're in a big division and a big fuss and cliques and I don't want to talk to you and you don't want to talk to me, you think God's going to bless all that nonsense? You see, they were of one mind. They were of one soul. That's the people who God blesses. They were stewards and not owners. Not a single one of them said, well, this is my money. This is mine. This is my food. This is mine. You can't have mine. I'm not going to share with you what I've got. This is mine. You see, they understood they were stewards and not owners. So let me ask you, what do you own? You own nothing. Nothing. The shirt on your back doesn't belong to you. You say, I earned it with my own money. God gave you that job. He owns and he can take it away. But you see, he wants to bless. He wants to care for his people. But he expects his people to be united in one family. He expects us to be stewards, not owners. And he expects us to be generous and not selfish. Can you imagine? Here's Barnabas. Barnabas lived in a place removed from Jerusalem. Get him back to X. He grew up in Cyprian. and he owned some property. You know how rare it was for a Jew to own property in the Roman Empire days? Very few. But almost those that did were either high priest or of the priestly family. There were some, but I mean, they were the up and ups. They were the 1%. I don't want to get political here, but I mean to tell you, they were the rare breeds. But Barnabas happened to be one, but guess what? It wasn't even in the area. It wasn't even in Palestine. It was in Cyprian. So guess what Barnabas does? He sells it and brings the results, the profit, and lays it before the people. I mean, they were generous. You know what? You think God's going to bless a bunch of stingy folks? I mean, if only it was, I want, I've come to get. When was the last time you gave? You know, I put a dollar in the plate. Okay, convince God on that one. He takes good care of you. You see, that's why here at Liberty, we believe the Bible, and the Bible says you tithe. What is a tithe? Someone just say it. A tithe is 10%. We just believe the Bible. You say, I don't believe the Bible. You better practice the Bible. God blesses generous people. Quit tipping God, throwing him a dollar and say, okay, God, look what I've done. The widow gave it all. She gave her might. She gave it all. Last week I told you about the woman in Africa who brought to church a live chicken and handed it to the usher saying, this is my offering today. That's all she had. And that's good enough in Kenya, Africa, and it's good enough for the widow's mite. It's good enough for me and you. They were involved. They were involved. You know, there are some things others cannot do for you. You've got to be involved. You see, we can't sit in our recliners and say, okay, God, you promised to care for me now. You promised to provide. I need a job, so God, I'm going to sit down here until you give me one. You see, they were involved. They became active. You see, here at Liberty, we have more than a creed. We have more than a song. We have the truth, and the truth makes us people of activity. We've got to get involved. We have to do what God commands us to do. This is when God calls you, he calls you to action. He doesn't call you to sit in your recliner and say, okay, God, don't just do it. Now, he will just do it when we get involved. So I want you just to be reminded here of this incredible commitment that these early Christians have. They were united as a Christian family. They were stewards and not owners. They were generous and not selfish. And they were involved. Now, those are the types of people God blesses and says, guess what? You will have your needs met. Now, look at the outcome. In verse 34, it says, there was not a needy person among them. Can you imagine? Not of all the people coming from all around, there was not a needy person. Everybody had their belly filled. Everybody had a shirt on their back. Everybody had a place to lay their head. No, it may not be the Hilton, but they had a place to live, a place to, some food to eat. They were making it all right. There was not a needy person among them. Wouldn't that be great today, by the way? Word gets out. There's not a needy person in the entire family of Liberty Baptist Church. You see, I must repeat myself and be as clear as I can. It is God's intent to meet your needs. Jesus stated it on the Sermon on the Mount. It's very biblical. It's very true. It is God's desire. It's his aim. It is his will. You don't have to pray, God, is it your will that I eat today? Of course it's his will that you eat today. Now, there are two exceptions in Scripture that would cause God to allow one of his children to have an unmet need. First of all, it's discipline. He is disciplining his child. You can read more about this in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. He disciplines those that he loves. Sometimes we need corrected. When I was a boy, I needed corrected. And my dad supplied my needs. Probably not as often as I needed it. But he supplied my needs. You see, God will correct you because he loves you. I want you to know, church, he loves you. He will provide for you. But if you're here today saying, I tell you what, preacher, I've heard this kind of sermon before, that God's going to provide, and I want you to know he's not providing for me. Well, first of all, ask yourself, is he trying to correct you? You say, and what, man, I don't know. Maybe you're holding on too tightly to possessions. I don't know. But you see, God will correct his people. He loves you too much to let you go in an errant direction. Second, there are times when God is using your need to bring about a greater result in your life. Now, you got to get this. I'm going to refer to Elijah. He illustrates this incredibly well. You can read about it in 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah, the great prophet of God, right? I mean, this guy was amazing. Elijah. I mean, he was the forerunner of Jesus. I mean, this guy was, he was the man of his day. He got hungry. No food for Elijah. I mean, the prophet of God was hungry. Needs unmet. Was God trying to discipline? No, not in this case. But God was working another plan. So Elijah goes to where he thinks there may be some food. He happens to make incredible journey, by the way. Time doesn't permit us. We could track it in the map. Boy, he actually took off, as we'd say, an incredible bus ride. I mean, he went all the way from the southeast up to the northwest to what we know in our on our maps today as Lebanon. Where in the New Testament time, it was around Sidon. But in Elijah day, it was known as Zarephath. And so he gets to Zarephath, and there's a widow. And he goes to the widow and says, man, I am so hungry. Feed me right now. She says, only thing I got left is enough meal and enough oil, one last meal. I'm going to eat one more time, and I'm going to die. But because you're the man of God, I'm going to do what you just said. And so guess what happened? You know the story, right? So she prepares the food. And Elijah, what does Elijah do? Yeah, go ahead. Fix the food for me. That would not work in a Baptist church. I'm just saying. In the back of the line, preacher, you're going to perish with the rest of us. I'm just joking. So Elijah says, yep, okay, that's what I want you to do. Fix food for me. I know it looks like the last meal for you and your family. I mean, but fix it for me. And so she does, and then Elijah said, listen, you need to get vats so you can fill up with oil. You're going to have more food. You're going to have more grain. You're going to have more oil than you ever knew what to do with. And she borrowed every neighbor's empty vat, every empty container she could. And as soon as she would bring them home, God miraculously filled them. Not only did this woman and her son live, her family survived, the neighbors, she must have shared with her neighbors. It was amazing. And by the way, you know how the story ends with the widow from Zarephath. Her son becomes crucially ill and really dies. And guess who she calls? 911. Guess who answered the call? It's Elijah. My son died. Elijah comes running. He lays on his son and raises him from the dead. He never would have met the woman had he not had a need in his tummy. Even the great prophet Elijah never would have made his way. This is outside of the land of Israel now. He left the land of Israel to go to Zarephath because God was orchestrating the salvation of a family and the life of a boy. If you are here today and there's a need in your life, it may be because God is working out something greater than you can see. There's only two exceptions. Either he's disciplining you or he's got something better for you than that hunger pain or that need for a new outfit or whatever. Amen? All right, now you're going to have to listen a little bit quicker. Chapter 5. Oh, well. Now we're going to stop right here. come next Sunday and you're going to hear the rest of the story. You're not that nice. I love you, but you're not that nice. Here's the message for today. Here's the message for today. Listen carefully. The message for the day is that God will meet your needs. You know what your greatest need is? Your absolute greatest need, the top of the list. It's not for a hamburger. And I know what it's like to be hungry, though I've been hungry very little. It's not really for a place to live, and I know we've got some that really have no place to call home. That's a huge need. And God will meet that need through work and developing an income and set money aside and getting an apartment. That's how God does it, you see. But you know what your greatest need is? The need for salvation. Your greatest need is for God to be real in your life, to be vibrant, to be active. Your greatest need is for God to enter an ice cold heart and make it warm. To breathe life where there is no life. Jesus came to earth to meet that need. Jesus died on the cross to supply that need. It is for you. He is for you. But you must receive Him. Will you receive Him? Your greatest need is the need for God Himself. Then the other matters He's going to take care of just fine because He's faithful. Will you trust the provider? You cannot walk away from your provider. You cannot turn away from the one who came to provide for you. Jesus, receive Him. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I ask, oh God, that You would show us Jesus today. Show us Jesus today. Show us the Son of Man, the Son of God. Emmanuel, show us our provider. Not with our eyes, but with our hearts. Show us, oh God, so that we would believe enough to act on what we believe. May it be here today. Thank You, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the preaching ministry at Liberty Baptist Church. We trust the Lord will show His mercy and grace to you. At Liberty, we believe everyone counts. Our motto is, one church, all people. If there is a need in your life that we can meet, please contact us soon. Perhaps you need prayer for a personal matter. We'll be glad to pray for you. Maybe you need spiritual counsel. We have trained staff to help you. Perhaps you're looking for a friendly church that bases its teaching and practice on the Bible. Then consider us your home church. You can contact us by phone at 770-4 461-5644. You may wish to learn more about the ministry of Liberty Baptist Church from our website. It is www.lbcfayette.org. May God greatly bless you, and thanks again for your interest in the life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ.